Okay, so this is the lesson for chapter 15, exercises for chapter 15, and the page 99. So we just get into it. Passage for reading. So straight away, te ubo sanabarang adaya yen anyadarang gamapadang ten upasankaminsu. So this here again, you have a sentence with a series of verbs. You have adaya, which is the gerund or absolutive halfway through. So that's the first part of the action here. That's the action which comes first. Then you have the last part of the sentence, which ends with upasankaminsu. So starting as usual with the first verb and going doing everything before the first verb, you have adaya, having taken, or often translated simply as taking. And the person who has done the having taken is te ubo, they both. Both of them, you say English, here is literally they both. They both, having taken, what they have taken is sanabarang, which is the accusative, that's the patient here. Sanabarang is a taparisa compounder, which means literally load of hemp. Sana, hemp, barang, load, hemp load. So they both, having taken the hemp load, yen anyatran gamapadang ten upasankaminsu. So this is the upasankamati verb. That's why you have the yenatena there. And this is the third person plural aorist. So they approached, or they went to. And where they went to, that is the thing which comes after the yena, that's where they went. So that's anyatran gamapadang, a certain village site, quite literally. So having taken a load of hemp, both having taken a lump of head, they went towards a certain village site. Tat adasansu pahutan sanasuttan chaditan. So here you have the main verb is adasansu, is the aorist third person plural, they saw. And there's no agent apart from that. The agent is the same as in the previous sentence, they, third person plural. And what they saw is all the stuff in the accusative here. Pahutan, sanasutan, chaditan. So the main noun here is sanasutan, and the pahutan and chaditan are the adjectives that agree with that. Remember that when you have adjectives to a noun like that, one adjective tends to be in front, and the rest come after. That's what happened in here. Pahutan is in front, chaditan comes afterwards. Chaditang is a past participle, which here works like an adjective. So you have, they saw, sanasutang, hemp thread, bahutang, much, chaditang, abandoned. They saw much abandoned hemp thread. And tatta is simply there, in other words, at that village site. There they saw much abandoned hemp thread. Disva sahayako sahayakang amantesi. So again, two verbs, disva and amantesi. Disva first, having seen. In other words, having seen that, doesn't actually say that, but it's obviously implied, having seen that. Sahayako sahayakang amantesi, a friend, or the friend addressed, the friend, in other words, the friend addressed his friend. Yasako samma ataya ichayama sanan idang pahutang sanasutang chaditang. This is exactly the same as we did before in the last exercise, so it should be the same thing. So you have here, the first part of the sentence here is goes up to the comma, I suppose. That's why it's put a comma there. So yasa sama ataya ichayama sanan. Ichayama is an optative, and it's a first person plural. So it's we would desire. So the word ichati, to desire. So we would desire, how we translate that. And we would desire, and what you would desire is hemp. So that's sanan. So we would desire hemp. Then you have yasa ataya in front. Now ataya is this word which has very many different meanings depending on the context, but often it has a sense of purpose, and here it actually means purpose. So, and it agrees with yasa, so you have which, that literally means that which purpose, and then this whole thing, the YA ending here, is a dative of purpose, because ato is a masculine noun. So the YA ending like that for masculine nouns is always a dative of purpose. So this is like, not only does the ending imply purpose, but the word itself, atta, also implies purpose. So the whole thing is very kind of purpose related. So for that reason, it becomes for which purpose. That whole phrase there becomes for which purpose. So what you have and have, men have samma, which is dear. So for which purpose, dear, we might desire hemp, right? Or for which purpose we might want hemp? That's the relative clause, and then comes the demonstrative clause with which it agrees, and that is idan pahutang sanasutang chaditang. So that has its own verb, and that verb in this case is the verb to be. And it's not there, it's an equational sentence. So the verb to be has to be added, and then it's apart from that, it's exactly the same as the previous sentence. So it's much abandoned hemp thread. And then you have this. This is much abandoned hemp thread, or idank possibly also mean here is much abandoned hemp thread. So, for which purpose we might desire hemp, here is much abandoned hemp thread.
Well, that first part doesn't make any sense in English. I mean, what he's saying is, what do we need with this hemp? Mm. Right? Mm. Is that right or not? I don't
first
know.
Part is
my understanding.
The first part is saying, We both took the hemp for a certain reason, right? That reason is because we want it. We want to bring it back to our house. That's the reason why we took the hemp. Mm-hmm. Now here is actually hemp, and obviously the point is that you want to bring it back and use it for clothes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then right. The fine hemp thread is even closer to being finished, the finished product.
Yeah, yeah.
No point in carrying on the other stuff. Take the stuff instead. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's the point. Yeah.
Maybe if you just say no. Yeah. Why on earth would we take this hemp? When we can have.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. That was my way of saying it.
It's just the idiom, Pali. For which purpose? For which purpose we would desire hemp?
Well, I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you were writing this out for people,
you
wouldn't leave it.
Of course you would. Of course you would. No,
it doesn't make any sense.
No, of course. No, I completely agree. with you. I completely agree with you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But listen, the whole point here is just that when I always think that it's a good idea when you translate the first time around,
right.
When you're going to translate literally exactly what the Pali says. Right. Then you get used to the way the Pali works. And then that's the first kind of step. And then the second step, number two, is once you understand the meaning, translate it into idiomatic English. That's not step number two.
Yeah, but I'm never sure how far to go with that. But anyway, I don't want to take up the time.
I think the reason why you want to do it quite literally initially is because you want to make sure it translated properly.
Yeah.
Right? I think that there's always a danger that if you try to translate it into idiomatic English straight away, you may actually miss some of the stuff in the Pali.
Right.
Because the Pali, sometimes I've seen people do that, like Maurice Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
He sort of takes a whole paragraph and sort of writes it out in his own words, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then he misses stuff and gets it wrong. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And I think that is because he hasn't actually gone through the intermediate step of actually translating literally first of all. And then making sure he gets everything in the Pali properly down before he actually does that. I think he's gone too fast sometimes.
He's too good.
Yeah. Well, in one hand it's too good, but in the other hand it's not good enough. And I think Bhikkhu Bodhi does often the opposite mistake. He's sometimes too literal in his translation and doesn't actually translate enough into idiomatic English.
Mm.
His translation may be more accurate in the sense that it's closer to the Pali, but actually it's not as readable as Maurice Walsh's translation sometimes.
Mm.
So, which one is more important? Well, I think they're both important, but certainly it's important to have an accurate translation, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Tenahi samma tvang cha sana badang cha dehi aham cha sana badang cha desami. The same as we had before. So you have the first verb, cha dehi, which is the imperative, throw away. And the agent here is tvang, so you throw away. And what does you throw away? Is sanabara. You throw away the Lord of Hemp. And tenahi sama, now dear, you throw away the Lord of Hemp. And you have the cha, which is and. Remember that the cha in this case, it actually connects two clauses, two different sentences. So the first sentence is conjoined with the next one. So you throw away the Lord of Hemp. And the second one is and I will throw away the Lord of Hemp. In other words, my load of hemp, you would say in English, right? You throw away your load of hemp. And this is how you would then do it into English, Sangamata. You would say, you throw away your load of hemp, I throw away my load of hemp. You would add that in there because that makes much, you know, it sounds better in English, I would say. Please correct me. Ubo sana sutta barang adaya gamisama. So, gamisama, we will go, adaya, having taken the first verb. So both ubo having taken sana sutta barang. Sana sutta barang is a triple taparisa compound, but you can just read it out and know what it means straight away, because it means hemp, thread, load. So both having taken the hemp thread load, in other words, the load of hemp thread, right? It's pretty obvious. But if you do analyze it, it should analyze into a Taparisa compound. A load of thread of hemp, double Taparisa compound, genitive. Both having taken a hemp thread load, we will go. Or, yeah, we will go. T, end quote. So that's all the being said there.
That word barum isn't in plural, right? That's just singular?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point. So it actually means both having taken a load of hemp. Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean here? Hemp thread?
Well, yeah, I thought maybe if it was neuter, it would be plural. Could be plural. No, it still couldn't be plural. Right?
Can never be plural. Ang ending is always singular here. If it was neuter plural, it would have to be barani.
No.
But it's actually masculine, so it's barons, so I think okay. It's masculine, yeah. Ayang kome samma sanabaro durabato cha sanando cha. So here you have two past participles, durabato and susanado. Durabato means carried with difficulty or carried far. Dur is this kind of negative prefix. And abato seems to mean having brought. So having brought with difficulty or brought with difficulty, I suppose. So, and susanado means well tied up. And this agrees with sanabaro. So, and then ayang agrees as well. So this is basically an equational sentence with past participles. So this load of hemp is well tied up or has been well tied up and carried with difficulty. And then may, by me, is presumably to be the agent here, because it's a past participle sentence, passive sentence. And this is the difficulty with some of these past participles, is that you have to juggle a lot. Sometimes they act like more like verbs, and here they act a bit like verbs in a sense. Other times they act more like adjectives, so it's like an adjective in a sentence. And you really have to sort of juggle that in your mind when you try to translate these things. It's not always so easy. Yeah. Alang me tvang pajanahi. Alang me is basically alang means enough, and it always takes the dative, so it means enough for me. In other words, this is enough for me. You could probably add a horti in there. This is enough for me. Tvang pajanahi. A bit literally, you know, you understand. So he, I guess, he's telling me off a little bit. You understand. This is enough for me. Yeah. Okay. So then we have attako so sahayako sanabarang chadetva sanasuttabarang adi. So two verbs again, chadetva and adi, chadetva having abandoned, adi took. So this is the aorist of adiyati, which is to take, third person singular. And the agent here, so sahayako, first one, that friend having thrown away the hemp load, took the hemp thread load, right? It's actually quite nice. This is reasonably, it's not too hard to translate. It's sort of within the ballpark. So it's quite nice to sort of go through this kind of paragraphs.
It was easier as well because the previous exercise that, at least taken some of the groundwork.
And that's the great thing. You actually you understand much more deeply next time you go through it a second time.
The last word, I sort of knew what it was, but how would you know how to conjugate adi, it's adasa?
Adiyati, I think it is.
Adiyati,
is it the verb? Adiyati?
Adi.
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 Yeah. What you can do with some...
How do you know?
One of the things you can do, sorry... If you find a really odd conjugation like that, or a really odd tense like that, it's hard to recognize. Sometimes you find them listed separately in dictionaries.
No.
So what you can do, listed separately, and then they refer you back to the main entry. Huh?
Right.
So if you have,
I sort of looked everywhere.
Did you have? Yeah.
No, I
did. I'm not sure about this one here, but I think if you look in the verb table.
Yeah.
You should be able to find it there.
You found it? Well, I thought of Adaya, and then I kind of just imagined.
Well, that's what I did. Yeah. I'm saying, then there isn't really any other way to
Okay, let's have a look. It's probably on the Da, you see. Look on the Da.
Yeah.
So, because that's the verbal form of, yeah, there you go, it's actually right there. If you look in the Da, Di long A.
There's no number.
So lacking in page numbers, yeah.
3, 4, 7, 5, 1.
Is that the second Da?
The second.
And you see
how do you know it's the second?
You just have to
okay.
Check it out.
Oh.
And then you have the Di, and you have Adi at the Aries. There it is.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
Okay, yeah.
That is,
but that's why sometimes it's actually nice to have a good dictionary, because that is very helpful, because they might list that form separately to help you out.
I had that with mine the previous week.
I had that with many words, not just that.
I remember this myself in my early days, mm-hmm. learning Pali, yeah. Searching.
And you know it's something that common as well.
Exactly, that's right. There's usually very, afterwards you just shake your head. And you know.
Taylor. Yeah, I knew Mom. I said, I've seen it before. Many times. Yeah, many times.
Tenahi brahmana sunahi. That's a good one. Sunahi is a imperative, listen. So it's a second person singular, so it's an imperative tense. You command money, listen. So the you is implied, listen. And then Brahmin is the vocative, so you talk to somebody, Brahmin, listen. And Tenahi is the now, it's like admonitory, I think he calls it here. Now, Brahmin, listen. And this, becomes a good one. This is the ancient Indian art of arguing it. Natvang iman dhammavinyan ajanasi, ahang iman dhammavinyan ajanami. So ajanasi here is to understand it, to know. So, and the person who doesn't know is tvang, is you, second person singular, you. And then there's a na, you don't know. Literally what he's saying here, he's telling the guy, you don't know. And what he doesn't know is iman dhammavinyan, accusative, this dhammavinyan, this teaching and discipline, literally. You don't know, or you don't understand this teaching and discipline there. Ahang imang dhammavinyan ajanami. I understand this dhamma discipline. It's taken from one of those places where they're arguing with each other, and he's saying, this is going on about, you know, your doctrine is refuted and overturned, and, you know, save your doctrine if you can, that sort of stuff. You don't understand. I mean, these guys are really getting into it. It's funny. Anyway, okay. Idda tathagato jato. So jato is born. Past participle agrees with the tathagata, and it's adverb to be, and you get the tathagata is born or was born. You had to, has to be the aorist there, obviously. And then idda here, the tathagata was born. It's the four holy places you're supposed to visit. Ko imang dhammang kippang eva ajanisati. Ajanisati is the verb here, obviously, and it's future, the double S. So literally, will understand is third person, and the agent here is ko, is who. So literally, who will understand, third person singular. Who will understand? And imang dhammang is the patient. Kippang is not the patient, because kippang is just indeclinable, it's not actually a noun to be declined. So imang dhammang is the patient. Who will understand this dhamma? Kippang eva, quickly. Perhaps even really quickly. Eva is like an intensifier. Ekacho danang deti samanasava brahmanasava annang panang vattang yanang malaganda vilepanang seya vasata padipeyang. So here the verb is actually towards the beginning, is deti, which is the verb, and the agent is ekacho. So someone gives, and what they give is dana, a gift, they give a gift, someone gives a gift. And then you have samanasava, brahmanasava, and here it is fairly obvious, because you have the verb to give, that samanasava, brahmanasava must be datives, because you have the verb giving there, so they are the recipients. So here someone gives a gift to an ascetic or a Brahmin. That's what they're saying there. And then it's almost like you have a colon after that, because then comes the whole list of the kind of stuff that they're giving. They give a gift, right? Everything here is in the accusative. So because it is in the accusative, this will be the stuff they're giving. This will be parallel to the... excuse me. See, this will be parallel. This is the same as the dana before. So this it goes together with the dana, with the gift. So that's why it's all accusative, because that's what's being given. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, someone gives a gift to an ascetic or Brahmin. Annan, food, panang, drink, vaktang, clothes or garments, yanang, a vehicle even. Malaganda vilepana, you have this is a dvanda compound we learned about in the last lesson. So this is a dvanda compound, it basically is a list within a compound. Mala is garland, ganda is scent, and vilepana is like some kind of cosmetic or unguent, they often call it, I think it's translated as. So garland, scents, and cosmetics.
Shouldn't
be given
that.
So
that's part of the precepts. No, but an unguent can be medical.
Medical. Like a salve.
Salve. It was very common to give oil for them to put on their feet, because it would be cracked from walking. Sunblock.
Yeah.
Like if you ever go to Burma, you'll see they're covered with tanaka.
But it is funny that this is the word that's found in the precept.
Yeah.
Vilepana.
Malaganda Dharana Mandana Vibhusana.
Yeah.
I mean, this is sort of like...
But remember, this is to Brahmins as well, ascetics or Brahmins. Brahmins would be priests.
Could be
any kind of samana.
That's right.
And Brahmins. So this is probably very wide, you know.
Very wide.
Yeah.
Funny that we see carriage. It seems like a big thing to get to.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for a Brahmin.
For Brahmins we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget.
Here's a chariot.
Here's a chariot for you. Take this chariot. There's the famous Brahmin called John Soni, who always drives around in a white chariot. Remember that? With all white trimmings and four white mares in front of it. It sounds really over the top. That's what I had the last talk as well. Right. Exactly.
You said it was added in from another one, maybe.
That's true. But every time, very often when that John Soni appears in the sutta, so, he's always driving around in a white chariot with white mares.
Nityan princes, they're always pretty outrageous too.
The Vajrayana princes.
The purple outfits and the yellow outfits. And then they start arguing, no, you can't keep the dana.
The mango woman has
defeated
us.
Exactly. It's nothing to think of.
The descriptions of them is really funny.
It is.
Purple or something.
Yeah. But this is the thing, that this is all in the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. And it's more like a story than it is a sutta, you know. That's what it is, a story. It all comes from the Mahaparinibbana Sutta.
No, but they know it also comes up in the
Anguttara, probably.
Anguttara.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, yeah.
That was copy.
That's just a copy paste. It's exactly the same. Yeah. Okay. Also copy and paste there. Seya avasata padipaya. So this is again another type of dvanda compound. Seya bed, avasata is like housing. Padipaya is like lighting. Anyway, so that's just a list. It's not all that interesting grammatically. It's just a listing of stuff. Everything is in the accusative. Konu ko pana bo janati madaniya kama. So here we have janati is to know. The agent is ko, so who knows? And he's speaking to somebody here. And it's a question, because you have the nu there. The nu is a question marker, right? It marks questions. So who knows? And then he's speaking to somebody, bo, sir, who knows? And then madaniya kama, sensual objects are intoxicating him. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, to understand that, you have to see it in context, understand what's going on there. Because it's a bit cryptic the way it is there. That's basically what it means. I think it means something like, who knows what might happen, you know, sensual objects are intoxicating. So, yeah. Anyway, next one here. Oh, okay. Janahi yadi vatang bhavantang gotamang tatta santang eva saddo abugato yadi va notata. Okay, so janahi here, if I remember correctly, because I've done this a few times before, but janahi here seems to mean something like find out. There's one person speaking to another one, and he says, you know, know, in other words, you know for yourself and report back, in other words, find out, basically. And it's imperative, so second person singular, so, you know, find out. And what it is to find out is yadi, whether, and this is all the accusative here, that so this is what it's finding out, whether tang bhavantang gotamang santang tatva santang, find out whether that venerable Gotama, Bhavantan Gotama, being thus, you know, in other words, whether he is being thus, yeva saddo abugato, I think this literally means saddo is sound, right? But here it means something like report. Because in those days, a report was a sound that was spread around. And abugato means spread around, the sound that spread around. So that means almost like the... what's the translation?
Is it again? Reported?
As reported, yeah. Or as sattu abugato, as he...
A good report.
Good report. That's like it. Yeah.
Disseminated,
yeah. Anyway, so a report, yeah. So it has been reported, I think it's good enough. I agree with that. So find out whether... That blessed one Gotamaha is santan, literally is being thus as the report, as the disseminated report. Something like that. I find the sentence very hard, I must admit. I've seen this many times before, the sentence. I find it pretty, pretty difficult. And then you have yadiva notata, or whether not thus.
Oh, I could. Is true. I thought being true, really being true, was part of that. And I don't have this. But find out like if he was true or not true.
Whether the report,
whether the report disseminated with reference to the Honorable Gotama really being, or whether or not the.
Okay.
Really being true.
Well, okay.
Yeah, implied is true.
A santam here is the. Is the nominative, is that right? Is santang the nominative?
Santang is
I think it might be
nominative. No, it's a fancy form of being.
No, it's being, but which is the case? What is the case ending? It's nominative, of course, nominative, yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Santang. Or is it?
Neuter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have it here as present participle of acti, agreeing with Gotama.
Well, Gotama, so it's not neuter, so it's not.
It's a present participle.
I know that. I know that. So it's accusative then.
Page
47.
It's
accusative then.
Yeah, I remember. I looked up this.
Santang. Samana. Santang.
This is a present participle of AS.
That is very clear. That is very clear. The question I'm asking is whether it is what case ending it has. That is what I'm not sure clear about now. Suddenly, gatsang santang.
Do you want to look at page 47? What your note is about? Your note refers to page 47.
Yeah. I'm on page 47 already. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see, from as we have the stem samana, samana being masculine nominative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With sant.
But it's difficult because if you look at the bottom of page 46, you have the table there,
yeah.
And santang, it looks like it's accusative because you have the antang there ending santang. But what would then the nominative ending be? It could be, to me, it looks like it could be either nominative or accusative.
Yeah.
Could be either one. That's what it looks like to me now.
Mm. Okay.
It's not clear, unless santo is always used for the nominative. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not going to try to decipher that sentence anymore. You can just use my notes, I think. Because
how could it be nominative?
Go to page. Go to
chapter. Oh, neuter?
No. Go to page 46.
I was just.
Yeah.
At the bottom here, there are two forms, I would say, for nominative and accusative. So it's not sure if it is that.
They're not the same. No, there's two different forms, but
yeah, right.
But one is gatschang, one is gatschangtang. But for the verb sant, I think that because it's such a short verb, it may actually be the same.
Mm.
So yeah, but for the for gatschang, it's actually different. For most verbs, actually different. Yeah.
And anyway, at the note on the bottom of 47, it says, "Hence true, more rarely good." That's where I got true. I guess.
Yeah, it depends on the context, you see. That's what makes it so difficult sometimes. It can mean true or good, or it can just be a present participle of the verb to be. Yeah. Being. So it really depends on the circumstances.
Well, then what would it mean?
It sounds like a poetic usage, is it?
No, it's a very common usage.
Oh, okay.
Very, very common. So what it would mean here, I think, the way I was reading it now is that santang is the present participle agreeing with Gotama. Oh. So that venerable Gotama, who is being such?
As reported.
Yeah, as reported or whatever, yeah.
Or not. That's
or not.
Probably just that simple, right?
I think that's basically the meaning. But to actually make it out.
Without actually saying what.
But would we? I think we would say in English, "Is he for real or what?" You know.
Is he for real or what?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I know when you use that kind of "is he for real," like meaning not the report is a report about him for real.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
Is he for real? The report.
Yeah, well, that's pretty casual language, though. Is he for real or what?
No, but I'm just trying to copy the grammar.
Yeah.
Is he for real is not about the report; it's about the person.
Yeah, you see, like that, exactly. Yeah, okay. I see, yeah.
Rather than, you see, you could read it, is the report correct, or is the Honourable Venerable Gotama the real thing?
Hmm.
So that's where it's coming down to,
yeah.
Whether it's nominative or accusative.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying that.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to go into more sentences because I find it a bit cryptic myself, so I'm not even sure how to read it. Because it's funny also, the Saddo Abugato is in the nominative here.
Mm.
I'm not sure exactly what, even why that is. That seems to be the main part of the sentence. The report which has gone concerning. It must be concerning. The report that we have spread about concerning the Blessed One or the Bhagavan Gotama being thus, being such. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But then the weather. Yeah, anyway. Let's just skip that one for now because it's actually quite complicated. We need quite a bit of more consideration, I think. Tassa evang janato evang passato kamasava pi cittam vimucchati bhavasava pi cittam vimucchati abhijasava pi cittam vimucchati. So here you have an actually a genitive absolute. And so that the first part here, tassa janato passato, is a genitive absolute here. Because you have the tassa, which is the agent, and you have janato and passato, which are present participles, and they're both in the genitive case. So that for that reason, this must be a genitive absolute. So instead of translating it as a genitive, you put the while in front, when or while. So while he knows thus and sees thus, that's what that means. When he knows thus and sees thus. When he knows thus and sees thus, then you have the last part here. Kamasava pi cittang vimucchati. Vimucchati is freed. And what is freed is the citta. So the citta is freed. And what it is freed, vimucchati often goes with the ablative because it's freed from something, right? The from is the ablative case. So the kamasava is the long A ending there, is an ablative long A ending. So it's freed from the kamasava, which is literally the sensual outflowing, the outflowing of sensuality. Yeah. Bhavasapa pi citta vimucchati. Also, the mind is freed from the asava of existence, the bhamasava. Also, avijjāsava pichittaṃ vimuccati, the mind is also freed from the āsava of ignorance, the outflowing of ignorance.
I have a question here, but I don't remember why, and I don't have the key, but I said, how do you get the genitive case for those first two?
They're present participles. Jānato and pasato are present participles,
yes.
And their genitive case ending is a toe.
Is it toe?
Take L table.
Okay.
Yeah. We got the table.
Yes.
Yeah. On the noun side, the main side, and go to look at the very top. You see all the endings, and towards the very end, you find the ant ending. That's a present participle ending. Ant. The fourth column from the end,
uh-huh.
Ant, right? If you go down that column, top half of the page, and you go down to the genitive dative field, you see you have antasta or ato.
Yes.
Yeah, so there you are.
Wow.
Yeah, so ato is the standard one is usually the standard one for this one here, for the present participle.
Okay, do you think that was given in the text? I mean, I don't want to hold you up. I just apparently I couldn't locate it or figure it out.
Yeah, I can't remember now anymore. You.
Oh, the text quotes are here at the end of this. You know, prayers.
Yeah,
I just
yeah,
didn't buy
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All
right. But it's 28.
It hasn't been given very well, that's for sure. But if you go to page 56, it is sort of given there. Yeah.
Okay, that's,
yeah.
I think, what I was asking.
Yeah. Page 56, there's a whole list at the top of page 56?
Yeah.
Now, for the third one, Bhagavant. Bhagava. The stem is Bhagavant or Bhagava, right? So the un stem is the same. It's the same for the same as the present participle.
Sure,
yeah. So that's the to ending. So that's as close as we get, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
got my answer. Yeah. So, okay, so we're getting towards the end of this first part. So we have Yam Kinshi Samudaya Dhammang Sabbantam Nirodha Dhammang. So this is another case of a demonstrative clause preceded by a what's it called?
you mean a little word?
No, demonstrative clause. And what are the other clauses in front? Not reflexive. What are they called again?
The which that. Thing.
Yeah. Relative clause. Yeah.
Okay.
This is the relative clause before a demonstrative clause. So you have Yam Kinshi is the relative pronoun here in front, so it means whatever Yam is the she thing. So this is the relative relative pronoun, indefinite relative pronoun, I think it's called that, the indefinite relative pronoun here. So you have Yam Kinshi means whatever, and Samudaya Dhammang is in a Taparisa compound which agrees with that. It's all here, everything here is in the nominative case. It's basically an equational sentence, right? So whatever is Samudaya Dhammang, Dhamma here means the nature, has the nature of, and Samudaya means to arise. Whatever is the nature to arise, in English you'd say whatever has the nature to arise. Sometimes you have to remember that in Pali, verb to be can sometimes be translated into English with the verb to have sometimes. And this is one of those cases. You actually translate it better with the verb to have. It has the nature to arise. Sambhantang nirodha dhammanti. Again, it's an equation sentence. Sambhantang, all that is nirodha dhammang, subject to cessation, or the nature to cease. The nature of cessation, the cessation nature. So whatever has a nature to arise, all that has the nature to cease, or nature of cessation. You happy with that? That's an important statement. Natti jatasta amaranam. So, natti is a verb, and when it stands like that in the front of the sentence is usually quite emphatic, it means there isn't, there is not. And what there isn't is amaranam. Amaranam here is the nominative. So amaranam because it's an equational sentence, you have the verb to be here, you have an equational sentence, you would expect the amarmam to be the nominative, which of course it is. So you have, there is no non-death, there is no lack of death, there is no freedom from death, right? Basically, there is no freedom from death, that's what it means. So, the A there is called the privative prefix. Privative, in other words, something which deprives it of its normal meaning. It's privative prefix. No. Can be negation. Here I would say it's more privative. Huh?
Private.
It deprives it of its ordinary meaning. So there's freedom from death, lack of death.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is no freedom from death. And then you have jatasa, and that's the past participle of birth. So born, quite literally. And then you have, this here means, presumably the dative, means for the born. Or it could also be of the born, and the genitive. So for one, you know, very often these past participles, like this jatasa, actually means one who has been born, one who was born. So it has a kind of it's personalized. It's not just born, but actually one who is born. So there is no freedom from death for one who has been born. That's what literally means.
So there is often, right, amara is also translated as deathless.
Yeah, and I think that is wrong. In my opinion, that's a wrong translation. Because and the reason I say that is because you see in the sutra, like the Majjhima Nikaya 26, the Buddha says, okay, I'm subject to dying. I want to find amarana. I want to find the freedom from death. This was before he was enlightened, right? He didn't know what it was, nirvana. What he wanted to find, he said that death is suffering. I want to find freedom from suffering. I want to find freedom from the problem. So what he's searching for is a freedom from death. He's not searching from deathless, sounds like a state. It sounds like something, like you're searching for some particular state. But what he's searching for is a liberation from the suffering, from death.
Okay, but in terms of like Amaravati,
yeah,
the monastery, they always say like that's the deathless, and the gates to the deathless are open.
But this is the problem with translation, and this is why I'm teaching you Pali, because now you can start to look for yourself and what it actually means. Instead of taking these kind of translations with other people, is, you know, stick into your head and it gets stuck there. You think this is what it actually means. It's true, this is what happens to everybody. Happens to all of us.
Does the cases not back this up again as well, where it's in the accusative, whereas the deathless would be something like nominative, no?
This is nominative. Amaramang is nominative.
Oh, sorry, it is nominative.
Yeah, because it's an equation of sentence here. Nothing. Oh. There isn't amaramang. There has to be nominative.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no freedom from death. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. And this is one of the great things about learning Pali. And you start reading the suttas, and you start to see things in context, and you think, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't fit what is being said here. And this is one of the great things. And sometimes you can actually say things which are useful for there are lots of people out there who have been doing these things for years and years and years. But with a little bit of knowledge like that, it's amazing how much you can actually figure out for yourself. And I have written a couple of papers for scholarly articles, for scholarly journals, that sort of stuff. And they have certainly been accepted by those journals as reasonable articles. Because you can do that. Once you start learning Pali and you start what's going on, you can actually pinpoint these things. So. Okay. Anyway, so now we go to translate into Pali. What I know, you know. What you know, I know. This is from the Arya Pariyesana Sutta, the Noble Search, where the Buddha-to-be is told that he has figured everything out, that the Alara Kalama already and Udakaraputta knew. So what I know, you know, this is again a relative demonstrative construction. So what I know is obviously janami, or what here is the contents of the patient, right? That's the patient of janami. I is the agent, I know. So the patient, what would be yang? So yang aham janami, you know, tvang janasi. Yang aham janami, tvang janasi, or even tang tvang janasi, if you like. What you know, I know. So again, you know, tvang janasi, and what again would have to be yang. So yang tvang janasi, ahang janami. Here. I learn the saying of the fortunate one. So learn here is probably Uganhami, or something like that, right? Uganhami or
Ajanami.
Ajanami, okay, yeah. Uganhami or Ajanami, that both come in to learn. So, okay. So Ajanami, and what you're learning is saying, so that's probably Basi tongue. And of the fortunate one, that has to be the generative, that has to be Bhagavato. So you get something like Ahang, Bhagavato Basitan Ajanami.
Vachanan?
Vachanan, yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, Vachanan, yeah. Maybe it's just Vachan or something.
Vachan.
But here, yeah, it's more. Yeah, but later it's the same word and it's even a different one.
Yeah, Vachan. You have, we can buy the Vachan or Vachanang, both possibilities. Yeah, yeah.
I just started to do that.
Yeah, for a bit of fun, yeah. Into the ring. Yeah. He will grasp what I explain quickly. So grasp here is that Ajanati as well? Or?
Yes, Ajanisati.
Yes, it's future. So Ajanisati, so future. Ajanisati, in third person singular, and he will grasp what I explain. What I explain quickly. Gee, how do you translate this? I don't know how to translate this. He will grasp what I explain. Oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Yeah, okay. Okay, so this is again another relative clause and demonstrative clause. So basically, it's what I explain, he will grasp quickly. That's basically what it is. So what I explain here, presumably this is Vyakaroti, something like that, right? Okay, future. So Vyakarisami, yeah. So Yang Ahang Vyakarisami, is the first part here, is the relative clause. Yang Ahang Vyakarisami, and then he will grasp quickly. So that usually has a that he will grasp quickly, usually. So Yang Ahang Vyakarisami, Tang Kippang, Kippang Eva, probably, Ajanisati. Something like that.
I noticed that that word Vyakarisami, and you have in your key spelled with a Y, and for some reason in his dictionary he's got all the words around it are spelled with a Y, but that particular word is spelled with an I instead of a Y.
I think the reason might be because he is pulling out the prefix. Maybe that's the reason why he's doing that.
No.
He's pulling out the prefix, and the prefix would be VI. That could be the reason. Let's have a look. In the vocabulary, is it?
Yeah. In the back.
Yeah.
And it was in two places.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I guess it's not a mistake.
Yeah, no, the reason is...
Anyway.
Vyakarisami. Yeah. The reason is because the way he does the verbs, he gives you it works for the roots, right? So if the verb has prefixes, it puts the prefixes apart from the roots. You can see the verb and the prefixes for the verbs. That's why it happens.
It was together.
No, if you go to page 410,
yeah.
It's right there. Yeah. Via Karoti is right there. Second column. Towards the end. Second column, sort of quite high up. Via Kar. 6, explain.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's a verb. And that's what it does with all the verbs. It pulls out the prefixes from the root. Yeah. But for the nouns, it doesn't do that. And that's why all the verbs around, the words around it, actually have the VY here. So when you split up the prefix from the root, the prefix actually is VI. But when you merge it together, the I becomes a Y.
Oh.
That's what's happening here. So he's just dividing it up into prefixes and roots. So when you actually write it out,
it's Sunday. It's
Sunday, that's what you have to write.
It's
a junction.
Assimilation, isn't it?
Junction means Sunday. So it's a junction between a prefix and a root. Yeah. In that junction, the sound changes. Sunday.
The word I use sometimes might be assimilation. How would it assimilate?
Assimilate, exactly. Yeah. Assimilation means the words, the sounds change. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because unfortunately we don't do much of it in English. But like in German, the ability to walk it off.
Yep.
So it should be a why.
It should be a why because it's being assimilated, yeah.
Yeah, precisely.
It goes from it to ya for the assimilation.
I don't think, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you
pronounce it. Okay. It's the way they're doing it.
I had a whole table of these assimilations once. Hmm.
Sorry?
Like
I think the reason is because a Y is actually it's a semi-vowel. And if you have an I and a long A together, you get what they call hiatus between the I and the A. And they don't like that. They don't like to have two vowels together next to each other. So that's why the Y actually gets changed. The I gets changed into a Y instead. The pronunciation is the same, you see. But because it's considered a semi-vowel, it actually it is considered acceptable in writing to have a Y there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. That's the reason, basically.
It's orthographic, in other words.
It's not. Doesn't have any.
I don't think it has any sound basis. No. Okay. I think it's purely. I think it's purely orthographic. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I have studied Sandy, but we haven't, kind of forgot it because we haven't really gone into it.
You don't need to worry too much about Sandy because if you want to compose your own stuff, maybe again, a lot of that stuff is kind of composed. It's helpful to sort of be able to split words apart, that sort of thing. But I mean, generally speaking, you can forget about it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. After some time, he hears the excellent doctrine. So he hears is Sunati, right? Third person singular, present tense. And he is that's part of the ending there. He hears, and what he hears is the excellent doctrine. Doctrine is Dhamma. Excellent here is probably something like Panitang. So Panitang Dhamma have to be accusative. And after some time, it's probably Achayena, something like that? Apparena Samena. Apparena Samena. Okay. Apparena Samena. Panitang Dhamman Sunati or something like that. Is it Panitang? Aryan. Oh, okay. Noble doctrine.
Noble, yeah. Well, but then you give in your key, you give Panitang and something else.
Yeah.
As possible. Because you didn't
cut them.
It sounded like you didn't really approve of this translation of Arya.
Yeah.
It's one. Aryan.
Look at the there we go. Oh, yes, there we go. For excellent could be Abhi Kantam or Panitam. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So he's, because Aryan really doesn't mean excellent, it means noble. Or noble, or.
Yeah.
We just say Aryan.
Yeah, exactly. You say noble, precisely. I think that's better, actually.
Yeah.
I do.
Three translations for Aryan. And one was noble, one was excellent, and there was a third one coming in.
Anyway, so let's move on because it's getting a bit late. So, yeah. The fortunate one taking Robin Ball entered Rajagaha for alms. So here you have a sentence with two verbs. You have taking and you have entered. And of course, the first verb often then will be in the gerund. So the taking again is adaya, having taken. And Robin Ball is patta chivarang. This is a Dvanda compound. You find a lot in the suttas. Patta chivarang. That's what he takes. And the fortunate one is the agent here, so Bhagava, nominative. So Bhagava, Patachivaran Adaya, entered Rajagaha for alms. Entered is Pavisi, it's the aorist. And what he entered is Rajagaha, so that must be in the accusative case, Rajagahang. And for alms, that's the purpose, that would be the dative, so Pindaya. So you have Bhagava, Patachivaran Adaya, Rajagahang Pindaya. Pavisi. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
See, the thing is that I can't remember. I mean, there's so many particular things. I don't want to take up the time. But when you use dative and when you use genitive and whatnot, for alms, it's obvious. I mean, it sounds like it's obviously dative,
yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it could be any of those. It's so.
It is hard. It's not easy. But remember the dative of purpose, right?
No, I didn't.
Two datives. Dative of purpose, and dative which is the somebody who has a benefit of something. Those are the two datives.
Oh.
those are the two most important datives. So whenever somebody receives some benefit, that person will normally be in the dative. Or the purpose of which you do something, also be the dative. It's called dative or purpose. Those are the two main meanings of purpose. Okay. And here we talk about a purpose. He's going to the city for alms. That's the purpose, right? The dative or purpose. That's what you have to, Stop, Ananda. Don't grieve. So this is obviously like an imperative, don't grieve. And this is often done by in Pali, but with a ma, and then the aorist of the verb, of the actual verb here. So this is very likely to be ma, and then grieve, of course, one word for grieve is paridevesi. So probably it's the aorist here, paridevesi. I think that's the aorist, paridevesi. So ma paridevesi, don't grieve. And then you have Ananda, this is the vocative, that's just Ananda, he's talking to him. Ananda, ma Ananda paridevesi, and then stop. It's probably like enough, alang probably, alang, stop, enough Ananda, don't grieve. Alang Ananda, ma paridevesi, something like that.
Doesn't ma go at the beginning? Usually?
Sometimes, but I guess it depends on the on what is considered the sentence here, you know. Here you might have two sentences, stop Ananda, sentence one, don't grieve, sentence two. I guess it depends on how you split it up.
Oh, okay.
So he understands that these beings are endowed with bad conduct of the body. So this is interesting. You see how the Pali works. It says here that you should use direct speech. In other words, the thing that you understand gets put into quotes, right? He understands that, and then that goes in quotes. The content of your understanding is in quotes. That's very typical of the Pali language. He understands. In English, you would then translate as he understands, colon, and whatever it is. In Pali, you put in quotes, T. So he understands is pajanati, and then you have that. I don't know if that is actually separate here. I don't know if it's tongue pajanati or whatever, but it's probably just pajanati. And that probably is just the quotation, meant as the quotation here. So these beings is imme satta, plural, is what he understands, imme satta. And this, here we have an equational sentence again, because we have the verb to be, the are. And what is equated is these beings, and then endowed is equated. So these beings are endowed. So imme satta, samanagata is the past participle which is endowed. Imme satta samanagata. And samanagata always takes the instrumental, because we're endowed with something. And bad conduct of the body is conduct of the body is kaya body, conduct is charita, and bad is do charita. So kaya du charita, kaya du charitena, something like that. So you get something like imme satta kaya du charitena samanagata T, the ending of the clock, T, pajanati. Something like that. In other words, he understands, colon. Content of understanding coming next. Not memorizing that speech, I left. In other words, it was very impressed, it sounds like. Not memorizing that speech, I left. So that speech, presumably, again, is maybe something like tang vasitang or tang vachanang, something like that. Not memorizing is maybe ugahantang, is that right? Ugahantang, past participle, ugahati.
Anu.
And then you have not, so that becomes the anu in front, the an. So an ugahantang, tang vachanang, anugahantang.
Anugahanto.
Anugahanto.
Of course.
It's all nominative.
Present participle
nominative. So it could be. Okay. So tang vachanang anugahanto. It's nominative. It's all nominative because it's just an equational thing, really, not memorizing that speech. I left.
Pakami.
Yeah, pakami, yeah. I'm just trying to think of what the relationship is between the two parts of the sentence here. Tongue, not memorizing that speech, it's just a phrase, it's just an initial phrase, which is just. Doesn't have any relationship to the last part of the sentence, and no grammatical relationship. So the first part was just an initial phrase, a subsidiary clause, you would say, in the nominative, just an equational sentence. So not memorizing that speech.
Yeah, your note even mentioned something like that. Not grasping, not understanding might be a better translation considering the context in the future.
Okay.
Not grasping or not understanding. Rather than not
memorizing. Anyway, okay. Coming to the end, why is this unexplained by the philosopher Gautama? Unexplained is avyakata, past participle. This is now going to be a passive sentence because you have the unexplained, it seems to be the main verb here. So avyakata. And then you have avyakata, so the agent is the philosopher Gautama, because he is a passive thing, a passive sentence. So it would be then sammanena gautamena, right? Sammanena gautamena. And you have this, the thing which is unexplained, that will have to agree, that's like the patient of unexplained, it's the thing which is comes, you know, hasn't been explained, so that will have to agree with unexplained, past participle. So this will then be Ayang avyakato sammanena gautamena, something like that. And then you have the Y in front, so probably just king to make it interrogative. So king ayang sammanena gautamena avyakato, something like that.
Kasma.
Kasma is the Y. Okay, so kasma then. Okay, yep. There's many ways of actually constructing it, but kasma is certainly one.
I hear avyakatam.
Avyakatam. Oh, idang avyakatam. Okay, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. So the reason.
The key,
So the reason for that is it is because it avyakatam, there is nothing here. It doesn't actually relate to any particular noun, right? So it doesn't really have a gender as such. So because it doesn't have a specific gender, it just goes automatically into the neuter. All it has is this, right? Okay, this is a pronoun. It doesn't relate to the gender of a particular noun. If that is the case, if it doesn't relate to the gender of a particular noun, normally the neuter is used. That's probably what's going on here. That's why it's idam avyakatam. That makes sense, yeah. Okay. Yous have gone forth from house to homelessness. Okay, so he's telling them they've gone forth. So. Strange sentence. You have gone forth. Okay. Maybe this will say after the ordination. You have gone forth. Okay, so the gone forth is pabajati. It's pabajata is obviously the verb here, you plural. And from house, so that's agarasma. Agarasma is the ablative ending there. It doesn't have to be. It has that for some reason. That always has the pronominal ending sma in the ablative. It's not a very common ending. Usually, it's only the pronouns that have the sma ending. But here, actually, sometimes the nouns also have the pronominal endings. So sma is the pronominal ablative ending. It's used here for some reason. Don't know why, but that's what it's used. So agarasma, and then you have two homelessness. Homelessness is anagariang homelessness. Yeah, so that's exactly related to anagarika. So you have something like agarasma anagariyanga pabajjata.
What was the first word?
Us?
Agarasma.
Tumhe.
Tumhe, okay, so they have a tumhe as well. Okay, yeah, fine. Oh. Tumhe is just your plural.
Can I go back to, when you have the word.
Not memorizing that speech. Anugahanto.
Yes, anugahanto. That's the present participle.
Yeah.
Well, it had different forms that you can use if you look in the book. How do you know which one to use?
Yeah, it could be Anuganhanto, something like that, right? Anuganhanto. Anugan.
Yeah, I don't know if there were two. This is the longer one.
Yeah, it is. I think you just don't know. I think it doesn't matter. It's not important. Because, I mean, again, you're going to use this for translating from Pali into English.
Yeah.
All you need to know is that they're different forms and you recognize them. You have to recognize them, that's all.
Is it true to say that you would find both forms in various places? Sometimes one person uses one or...
I guess
both are used on the same word.
I think it varies from verb to verb, and I think some verbs are both forms are used. Other verbs there's one form is preferred over the other one because it's a spoken language, right? It's whatever sounds easy to say, whatever comes natural. Whatever is a convention, there's probably lots of conventions as well,
Yep.
Just like we have conventions in language. Conventions are important.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All right.